Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm Larry Hardesty of ESPN New York 98.7 FM. I have the pleasure of talking to you about the man you're about to listen to, Doc Stanley, the legendary Doc Stanley. I always say before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. When you listen to Doc Stanley, you have to appreciate the knowledge, the connection. When he's at the ballpark during baseball, he's around the water cooler talking to the athletes. When he's at the basketball games, he's in the locker room talking to players, talking to general managers, talking to front office personnel to bring you the insight why people make the decisions they make. When he's on the ice skating rink, he's talking to some of the few African-American, African-Canadian, African players who are on the ice right now making a difference. You are listening to Doc Stanley on Sports and Depth.
Doc Stanley, Lock Talk Radio. I just talked to you guys. I never explored your death. You're welcome. That's all we want. Network. It is a Sunday, and it's time to talk sports. And the posse will be all gathering in, getting together. And before we do that, let us bring you a little music. Our new opening theme. Cool. On the jam. summertime, officially came in the other day. Doc Staley, Blog Talk Radio, Sports in Depth on the Trust and God Radio Network. It's a Sunday, and we're waiting for the crew to all come in, and we will discuss sports this week. And, wow, there's been a host of things happening. The NBA, what, 7 games for the first time in a long time. Miami Heat, repeat as NBA champions. They're only the third team, if I'm correct, in the last 15 years or more to win back-to-back titles. And big six game set. 5 points, 28 seconds left to go in the game. And they talked about how the NBA security was roping off the floor when Tim Duncan was throwing the ball in. Well, you know what happened. They came back, they won the sixth game, won the seventh game. I said, you know, the big key was free throws. Had Miami made their free throws in the first game, they went down to San Antonio 2-0 instead of 1-1. And then there's our question, if San Antonio could make the one big free throw in those closing minutes, and they win the game. 646-322-2890. And I've got somebody in panel already. Who's already here?
Howard Western.
The one and only Howard Lerrell. Legendary Howard Western Jr. Wait for the rest of the crew to get in. You know, Howard had that fight last night, and we're so glad that Ugas Malignaggi and Broner. This must have been his first fight, Harold, of against a opponent of merit, a guy that was going to show us how good Broner was. He comes away with a split decision victory. In a lot of ways, Harold, I'm seeing that as a win for Malignaggi and a loss for Broner.
Yeah, I agree with you on Doc. Let me just say this to you. I thought Paulie won the fight, and let me tell you why. If you go through the rule books of boxing, and the rule book says the person that throws the more punches, the one that lands the punches, is the one that wins the round, okay? Mm-hmm. They kept talking about how Broner, he hit the guy with hard punches, and that's what made him win the round. That's not what's supposed to be said in boxing, of ruling and judging a score of the rounds. You score, judge a round of who hits the person the most and who lands the most punches. And if you look at the fight, Paulie did throw more punches than Broner did, and the fact is that I thought it was a close fight, but I thought it, you know, if he couldn't get no more, he could get a draw out of it. But I just think Broner won it, and I agree with you. I think that basically he did not show himself as being the dominant factor in boxing after that fight, because Paulie, we don't see him get his butt beat quite a few times with guys and everything. It was supposed to be lesser talent. And so to say that he's a superstar on the rise, I'll take all that back. People just being, they're just trying to get an imitation of another Floyd Mayweather, but he doesn't have the finesse and class that people want to follow in boxing.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, I never went along with that nonsense of landing more power punches. How could you land more power punches if you both stand out there in 12 rounds? You know?
Right, and that's the whole thing. I mean, if I just throw 3, 4, 5 power punches in each round, okay, and hit you with three, and you throw 50 punches and you hit me with 25, how do I lose the round? Because you threw 5 power punches. What does that mean? The power punches that you just hit, you hit harder than me, God bless you. If you knock me out, then you're going to win the fight. But my fact is that you don't win the fight because you hit me with one of your hard punches and win a round because you hit me with a hard punch. That's not what it says in the rule book. The rule book says who lands the punches and who throws the most punches. That's what is in the rule book. And I get tired when I hear these judges and in commentators say, well, he hit him with 3 hard punches in the round. That doesn't win round.
I'm with you, Al. If I land 40 punches and you land 15 hard punches, I agree. And Paulie said something to the fight. He said, you know, how did this happen? I'm a champion, and this guy winds up getting the nod.
Right. And Paulie was right. I don't agree with Paulie all the time, but I got to say he was right this time. He definitely won the fight. I got to give it to him. I was so shocked. He put up a great effort. He did what he's supposed to do, and I got to commend him. He won the fight. And like I said, go to the rule books, and if you go to the rule books, Paulie wins the fight.
Yeah, it's sad and touching, as you would say. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard, the only African-American matchmaker in history, Master of God, the last great matchmaker in boxing, as far as I'm concerned, the one and only Harold Weston Jr. Let's take a quick look as we have opening the pictures, a lot of things that happened today. Happy birthday, we're going to say to Derek Jeter, who celebrates his birthday on the 26th. Happy birthday to Mike Tyson and our own Gilberto Ortiz, our boxing Latin reporter, on the 30th. My dear sister, Ellen, on the 27th of this month. She had another one in your early birthdays of this month. Remember Leroy Neiman, birthday on the 8th. Also, Roberto Duran on the 16th. Prince, Allen Iverson. And also, we found out it was a birthday shared by Bert Sugar. Iverson took a good point. They want to break it up. You heard this story about Allen Iverson kidnapping his kid. All nonsense. You know, all nonsense. Allen had a great line. They asked the reporter asked him, you know, did he think he, you know, didn't treat it fairly. Allen said he never has been, doesn't expect to be. Doc Stanley, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network, sports in depth. Real quickly, our opening pictures is LeBron James holding the NBA trophy. Back-to-back champions for LeBron, back-to-back MVP awards, and the Miami Heat win their back-to-back NBA championship. They are the champions of the NBA again. Tiger Woods, Tiger, as now, and didn't want to make any excuses, but it's obvious. Tiger's had some problems. He's not going to be playing until the British Open, has some arm problems. So Tiger Woods will not be playing in any golf tournaments again until it's time for the third major of the year, the British Open, and he will be back out on the floor. What's up, Doc? Doc Lewis. Finally, now, it said once again that the on-deal, off-the-deal is on. Doc Rivers will be going to the Los Angeles Clippers as a coach, and things have said that that deal will also somehow bring in or have coming about Kevin Garnett and maybe Paul Pierce. But is the latest report that is on that Doc Rivers will be the new coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. So
that's
good. Doc.
Huh? That's a good marriage.
Oh, yeah, it is.
That's a great
marriage. and you know, you also talk about one of the class acts and one of the great coaches. You know, guy, you know, he's never really gotten enough credit for the great job that he's done as a coach for the Celtics, you know, carrying them back and getting them champions and everything. And we just want to take our hats off to him. And we're saying, you know, really glad that Doc is really getting this opportunity, looking at
but,
the other pictures. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, what I wanted to say, Mel, is the fact that the Clippers, I saw them play a couple of times already, right? They're just not a basketball team. They are a show. They put on such a show that, man, you just enjoy what they're doing with basketball, with the team that they have. And bringing Doc Rivers there, who's like the showboat and has that, you know, he's got that little swag to him, too. This that is such a great combination. It's unbelievable. Believe me, man. I mean, but I saw the Clippers play a couple of times, man. I said, man, this is a show. I mean, they put on a show. It's like an acrobat show that they put on. I mean, they're a hell of a team. They're going to be something to reckon with. They really are. And they're young, and that's the good part about it.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, for them to get that kind of praise and adulation from you, because you don't give any of that begrudgingly, you know, and it's just tremendous a notation on your part. And, yeah, we as we say, we will see. Other as the pitchers, LeBron James, as we said, NBA champion, has done something rarely done, back-to-back MVPs and back-to-back playoff MVPs. We told you, Andre and Broner, and you got a question on just how good he is. He couldn't do any of the things he said he could do with Paulie Malignaggi. Aaron Hernandez, that's a big story now, the tight end for the Miami Dolphins. There's accusations of charges coming against him. Somebody was found dead a mile away from him. I don't know what that has to do with him, but in time we will find out if it has anything to do with him. But he's been in the news lately, and if he gets deducted from that Miami offense, because he is already part two of that super tight end offense, and the other tight ends have been having some injuries. Welker is gone. So that would be interesting to see. We told you about Tiger Woods, and we told you about Doc Rivers, who is, they say, en route to L.A. And in our captions We talked about LeBron, Kobe Bryant, as we talk. Kobe is now into the rehab process. He's walking again. Kobe had an interesting article I saw the other day. Well, Kobe picked his all-time starting five. It was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, okay, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and the other four. He said was a guy who really gets overlooked and doesn't get the kind of ink and stuff he deserved. None other than Larry Bird. That was his starting five. Bird, Russell, Jabbar, Magic Johnson, and Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Other pictures there. We also have, as we told you, we're saying happy birthday to Derek Jeter. And the other names that we mentioned too, Tiger Woods. And, you know, it's good well to him. Devin Alexander. Got a chance to talk to him at the fight last night. Just a really good good conversation. Really, really good conversation. A lot of insight. B-Hop, Bernard Hopkins. As you know, he's supposed to fight next month. Fight got canceled. Now there's some talk about with the mandatory being a lot tougher opponent than was the previous mandatory. The big question is, will Hopkins keep his word to the IBF, or will Golden Boy look to find some way and Bernard to get out of this and find an easier fight, as the Russian now, who will be the number one mandatory, seems to be a lot tougher opponent than what was perceived. Well, actually, we'll deal with other opponent was seen. Okay, other names we told you about, Mike Tyson. We also told you about Derek Jeter. Happy birthday, Harold Derek Jeter. And now, what do you think about the Harold? You think Bernard will try to find an easy opponent?
First, I'm getting ready to ask the question, who the heck are you talking about is tough? I mean, there's nobody out there tough that Bernard's got to worry about. So who are you talking about?
Wow, how I like that. That solves that. There's nobody out there tough, so you're not worried about it.
Who was there tough? I mean, give me a person that's tough.
No, how? Yeah.
That Bernard's got to worry about.
Uh-huh. That's the gang. Those my panel just calling. Hold on, look, I got you on the board having some problems again with the connection. So just hang right, and we'll be pulling you all into the show. The other names we had is Mayweather and Alvarez. There's a press conference tomorrow that's going to be the beginning of an 11-city tour of that fight coming on. And Mayweather was at the fight last night. He was there. I was surprised that Alvarez wasn't. I would have thought Alvarez would have been on the scene also, but Alvarez wasn't there. Mayweather was there, and there's a big press conference tomorrow that will kick off their tour. I think we should have Cincinnati Seawings, and also we should have Muscles and Neymar. Neymar, as you know, the great young footballer for the Brazilian team. Also, he has signed a tremendous contract. He's going to play with Messi at Barcelona, and he has been the talk of football. And he's been the talk of this FIA tournament. He's been scoring incredible goals and also making some great assists. Brazil, the other day, beat Mexico. First time facing Mexico since they lost to Mexico in the Olympics. They beat them 2-0. They're undefeated. They've also qualified for the World Cup and beaten Italy the other day, 2-0. They are putting themselves in a bracket, and where they said somehow avoided Spain. Watch Spain play. They're just a sharp passing team. Defending champions, haven't lost a match in the last 23 matches, and they've been something else. Doc Stanley, Block Talk Radio. Okay, who we got in there? Muscles, you join us yet, Muscles?
Yeah, it's me, man.
Muscles,
you should
okay,
know my
we
number
got
already.
And yeah, don't worry about me knowing. You know, like I said, I haven't talked with the boys. So I'm just trying to get everybody in.
What's up, Harold? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How's everybody?
Good, Muscles,
man.
You
welcome
were there
back,
last night, Harold. Harold is in the feeling that at worst, Paulie got last night was a draw and maybe should have got the victory. Your thoughts on that, Muscles?
It could have been a draw. It was, it was close. I mean, Paulie did make the fight, actually. Broner just stood there catching punches most of the fight and pop-shotting and throwing punches here and there. Not an impressive performance by him at all. But, you're talking about the next quote-unquote Mayweather. The kid is not the next Mayweather, I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, Bernard Hopkins was having a conversation with Adonis Stevens, who just knocked out Chad Dawson. That fight might be in the works from what it looked that day. So Adonis Stevens approached him, and they had quite a bit of a conversation in front of Richard Schaefer. So that might be the next fight for Hopkins, being that his other opponent pulled out. Well, not pulled out, but he had visa problems.
Yeah, visa problems. That's amazing. I mean, you would have thought somewhere on the line that would have been cleared up or taken care of by his people. But evidently not, so he's not going to be able to make it. Speaking of visas, too, you know, the president of Brazil will be coming here soon, the first lady president of Brazil, Dilma. And there's some talk, as you know, the visa situation has been eased. You will get a visa when you apply to go to Brazil here in the USA within within 3 days. And there's also some talk about eventually, the deletion of a visa altogether. I think the visa introduction came about because the USA required Brazil to have a visa to come here, so they in turn retaliated. And so there's some talk about that situation may be totally deleted and there'll be no need for a visa. We'll stand by, we'll know more about that as Dilma will be coming to visit the USA soon. But when I was in Brazil, it is a no fact that the vice president appeared in Brazil and said that visas now you will have. If you apply for a visa for Brazil, you will have it within 3 days. So we'll stay tuned for more of that. Muscles, I said to it how looking back and all the hoopla and the talk about Broner, have him to come up with a split decision win against Paulie, I said in a lot of ways that is really a W for Paulie and a loss for Broner. Like you said, you know, he is not the super duper star that it was perceived to be.
Well, like I said earlier, Doc, the fact is that if you go to the rule books and you look at to say how you went around, and it says that who throws the most punches and who lands the most punches is the winner wins the round. If we're going by the rule books, then Paulie wins the fight. If we're going to go by what these judges were saying, then now you know what the deal is. And simple as that, and that's all I feel about it. I think that it was unjust to Paulie, and I think the best he could have got was a draw out of the situation.
Muscles?
Yeah. I feel slightly a bit different. I did see the punch stats. He outlanded Paulie by 30 punches. Even though he only threw 500 punches, which was counted, Paulie threw nearly 900
punches. 500 punches? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's what the...
Who the heck is doing that count? They better go back to school.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it actually looked like he was throwing 10, 15 punches around. So,
Jesus Christ. 500 punches that he threw?
Yeah, they said the punch stat said that he threw about 5 and change, and Paulie threw about 800 and change. Paulie landed about, I think it was 210, and Broner landed about 246 punches.
Oh, man. They got to be joking. That whole situation with that computer system, where they got them guys sitting there counting the punches, should be locked up.
I never understood, you know, where I threw 17 power punches that round and Muscles threw 37 punches. So, you know, if I threw 17 power punches, how come Muscles was still standing? You know, if I threw 33% more power punches, how come the fight went 12 rounds?
You know,
you know
what I think happened last night, though? Broner felt confident coming into this fight because he's been beating up, you know, he hasn't really beaten anybody, and he's been looking impressive. So they went after the least resistance. You know, it was almost like when Roy Jones went up to the heavyweight division, right? He didn't challenge Lennox Lewis. He got John Ruiz. You know what I mean? Because
right.
He knew that was the easiest, viable opponent. Not only that, but he makes history. So the kid did the same thing. He looked for, he saw Paulie's out there, and everybody was gunning for Paulie. It wasn't just Broner.
Right.
You had Shane Mosley, who was trying to come back because Paulie Malignaggi had a title in his belt, and he felt it was an easy way to win a title and be viable again. You know, so he was trying to come back also against Paulie Malignaggi, but that didn't work out. And then Broner, you know, is looking for some way to maybe establish himself. So he looks at Paulie also. The problem is he thought that he could do what Shane Mosley did when he moved, when he jumped up to fight Oscar De La Hoya, what Duran did when he jumped up to fight Sugar Ray Leonard. He thought that he was going to be able to carry his pop and beat the crap out of Paulie. And what he saw was that his punches weren't as tough against Paulie as, let's say, Mikel Cotto did, or even Ricky Hatton. You know, his punches weren't, I mean, they were moving him, but they weren't hurting Paulie. And he also fought a measured fight. He didn't throw a lot of punches for a reason. He didn't want to get himself tired. You know, he was heavier. He was at the heaviest of his career. He was pacing himself for a reason, you know. So, and he was thinking that Paulie was going to slow down, eventually punch himself out, and he'll start wailing away on a tired Paulie Malignaggi, but that never happened either. So everything that they expected backfired. You know, his performance wasn't great, and that's why he was talking about moving back down to 140. I mean, but even at 140,
you
got Luke Ortiz, you got, you know, Garcia, you got a lot of guys there, man. You got, you know, Maidana,
but
you got guys
there. You said, this is amazing. You said he's thinking about going back down to 140, huh?
Well, he did say, he did mention some 140 pounders or whatever. So, you know, I don't think his brain trust truly wants him at 147. Not after this fight, you know, not after his performance. I mean, this guy barely threw. To me, he looked like he was throwing 10, 15 punches around. He spent most of the time catching punches, and sometimes he was getting hit. And I think, you know, if Paulie was a harder puncher, Broner would be pissing blood right now. Maybe he'll piss his liver right through his, you know. Right through his urethra. I mean, come on. I mean, he was catching a lot of body shots that night, and only because Paulie couldn't really hit him flush to the face, and he did a smart job. He worked the body, but I felt he should have threw some overhand rights against him. I think he would have landed that punch significantly if he would have done that. But
yeah, but you know, muscle is so important, and you know, you sit here and you talk, and Hal sits here and talks, and Lady here talks. And y'all talk about things that could have been done and should have been, things that you see. And it's so amazing. And we talked with Devin Alexander last night, and he talked about it too. But, yeah, you know, the thing I'm saying is, here you are, and I understand you guys are the best, and you see these things, and it just validates consistently what we always say here, all of y'all and Dusty, and, you know, that, you know, people today have no clue. And you know, you're saying what his corner should have told him, and they didn't. And you know, the only reason why they didn't is because, just like him, they don't know what to do. I mean, the other side I want to talk to, or I forget, you and Harold are talking boxing, Dr. Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Sports in Depth. It is a Sunday sports rep. You know, Alexander also talked a lot of things, and he talked about, you know, like now, and I think after last night's performance by Broner, it even elevates him. And the Mayweather sweepstakes, you know, Mayweather fights Alvarez. He's still got three or four fights left with Showtime. And Alexander was talking a lot of things last night. And one of the things he was talking about, too, was the thing that you've talked about for the longest time, is the blatant and obvious use of steroids in boxing muscles.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think now it's become more relevant than it did before because of the outcome of the Pacquiao-Marquez forefight, you know. I think it was in the forefront. I still think it's still one of those hush-hush things. I think there's still – it's not, like, blatantly expressed out there. But there were – you know, it came out of Jim Lampley's mouth in the fight game. It came out of a lot of guys' mouths talking drug tests. And right now – Pacquiao's team, who ducked drug testing for years from Floyd Mayweather, you understand what I'm saying, is now implementing Olympic-style drug testing for his fight against Rios, which is ironic.
Wow.
You know, and also they were saying that if they fought Marquez, that they will implement, you know, drug testing also. But I think it's too late. I think that Marquez got hip to the game. It was a smart move by him because he would never beat Pacquiao if he didn't fight fire with fire. And I think that, and I also believe that if the Floyd fight would have been made, I think that the drug testing would have mattered. Pacquiao still would have came in with substance in his system, because that's why they agreed to take the drug testing, because they were like, they knew they could beat the drug test. So they said, you know, because if you look at it, when they first decided, when they first were trying to make the first fight, they panicked. They said, no, we want 28 days or 20 days before. And Floyd was like, look, let's make it 14 days or 10 days or whatever. And they weren't agreeing on that. But they were fearful. But you know, these guys have gotten better. These guys have gotten really good at what they do. Actually, Marquez's trainer, strength and conditioning coach, who's known for being in the whole steroid controversy, he actually admits on record, he admits that he would beat any of his athletes would beat any drug test because he's just that good. So so if Floyd Mayweather thought for 1 minute that he would have been fighting a clean Pacquiao, if they would have faced each other, he would have been in serious trouble, because I think that Pacquiao, that, you know, 1,000 punches a fight, guy smashing orbital bone, you know, smashing some of the guy's orbital bone, would have kicked the crap out of Floyd Mayweather if they would have faced each other.
It's funny, so, because Floyd talked about that you know, he said, my O's got to go. I want to be legit. MSG, when I think MSG, I think about the gentleman who was with us here tonight, Harold Weston Jr., the last great matchmaker in boxing, the Madison Square Garden, one of the great matchmakers all, right there with Teddy Brenner. You're talking about Teddy Brenner, Harold Weston. You're talking about Teddy Brenner, Harold Weston, Duke Dre. You're talking about guys who knew the sport, guys who knew the fighters. Harold Weston's record, Hector Macho Camacho, Mark Waddell, Juan Laporte, and The Blade, Aaron Barkley, four guys during his reign who became champions of the world. And Camacho at the time was the number one fighter in the world. MSG on Friday night had the Friday Night Fights, hosted by Mark Breland and John Duddy. Mark Breland, greatest amateur fighter in the history of boxing, 110-1, won every conceivable award at his highest level as an amateur, and had a record of 110-1. Him and Duddy do the MSG Friday Night Fights, and it kicked off on June 7th. Alexis Arguello, Aaron Pryor, November 9th, that's my son's birthday, 83, Pryor, Arguello 2, and that great line they had when Arguello announced that he's going to retire. Somebody asked him when he's retiring that great left hand of his. Alexis says, yeah, and I'm retiring the right hand, too. The next fight we saw was Holyfield, Bo. That was the 11th of November. No, that's November 13th, 1997, when Bo beat Holyfield to gain the heavyweight champion of the world. Last week, we saw on Friday, Mark Whelan, who went into this fight 16-0, winning the WBA welterweight championship. He beat Harold Verbo in Atlantic City on my brother's birthday, February 7, 1987. And this week, we will get Kevin Miss Kelly, the Flushing Flash. That will show his WBC featherweight championship winning bout against Jesse Brenneveld. And to open up the month of July, you're going to see two of Zab Judah fights. His Terrain Mellett fight, that was on August 5th, 2000, where he got knocked down in the first round, got up and knocked the gentleman back down and out to win his title and his defense, too. That will be fight number two of that show, June 23rd of 01 against Alan Vesta. Same thing. He won by a knockout. But it's Friday Night Fights, MSG Network. I want to thank Larry Torres for the 411 on that and let you know that this week will be Kevin Can't Miss Kelly. He will be the featured fight against Jesse Barrett, the fight that he won to win the featherweight champion of the world. And then the day after 4th of July, it'll be Zab Judah, Super Zab Judah, two of his fights, winning the championship and his first defense of it. Friday Night Fights, Madison Square Garden, and takes you back to memories of Gillette Cavalcade of Sports when they had the Friday Night Fights. Doc Daly, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Radio, Sports in Depth, Harold Weston, Del Bell, Harold Weston Jr. is here. The Cisco Kid, a friend of mine and yours, he is here. And I think we got Mr. NFL 411, Cincinnati Sea Wing. Cincinnati, let's talk a little football. Cincinnati? Okay, I thought we had
He's actually in Cincinnati. He's out there with Brona.
yeah, I thought I had. Okay, I've got, 9-7. I got 365-2893. Who's that now?
You got me, Doc.
Yeah. Who's this?
Cincinnati C. We had a little technical difficulties there.
Yeah, well, yeah, listen, man, you better say, hey, listen, don't be like the Jets and we find up yet you up in New England now. Step on in there, baby. I know you ain't got nothing to say about the Jets football. Cincinnati C, you know, you were there game 6 NBA Finals. I remember the scores. The Heat took a lead with about 5 minutes left. But then I'll never forget you giving us the inside 28 seconds, 5-point lead. The Spurs turn out the lights. The party is over. Somebody didn't tell the Heat that. And you talked, too, about how the NBA security was roping off the floor, getting things set up. It didn't happen that way. Big free throw was missed. And the Heat came back to win that game. Can you talk about what the atmosphere was like? They said some of the fans left, and then when the Heat got back into the game overtime, they tried to get back into the stadium?
I mean, you just look at it. I wouldn't even call those fans after, you know, back up what Chris Bosh said. You stay there until it's over. I mean, you don't get up and go. I mean, you look at it's happened in so many different sports. You go back, speaking of the Jets, when the Jets played the Texans at home in, what was that, 2010-2011 season, they had about 50-something seconds left. Marched the field down the ball. Mark Sanchez threw that big bomb of a pass to Braylon Edwards, and it put them in position to throw that corner touchdown pass to what the hell is the wide receiver? The injured one. I should know this.
Right? Keller?
Oh, no, not home. Keller. Holmes, Santonio Holmes. Who, mind you, is still injured. He's not fully healed yet. But it goes to show you, especially in basketball, 28 seconds is a lot, especially with the fouls to give, taking them to the line, which what they did.
Hold on, back up real quick, because I know what you're going to say. That was the thing they talked about, too. But no, problem is, you know, he doesn't believe in that system. He's not going to take the fall for that. He doesn't believe in giving fouls. And, you know, you talked about that right now. 28 seconds is an eternity in the NBA, and as it turned out to be, you can see it turned out in favor of the Spurs. But you know, their coach, you know, who's one of the great coaches, again, you never hear a lot about this guy as a coach. What a tremendous coach he is. He has won 4 NBA championships. Coach, without question, if you do the 50 greatest players, Tim Duncan is in that list ever, as you add 10 to the 60 greatest players. But he said he doesn't believe in foul. But you know, I said this thing was very simply free throws. If the Spurs make their free throws, they win game 6. But had the Heat made their free throws in game 1, well, it would have been over after game 6. Then they went down in Miami 2-0. But the thing you talked about, the fans, too, Cincinnati C, is that even if they were going to lose this game, which meant it would be the final game of the season, you stay in this stadium, you give them a round of applause for taking you back to the NBA Finals, for winning the championship last year. There's no question it's a sad, sad affair for so-called fans of Cincinnati.
I mean, it's you know what I've seen in down in Florida, other than football fans, you see it's not really much. You look at the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, the Florida Marlins. You look at the attendance at these games. It's just it's unbelievable how they even pay the bankroll. I mean, they just don't seem to be big-time fans other than football fans. If it wasn't for the Heat winning like they do, yeah, I don't think you would see the arena packed like that. Sometimes you don't even see it. When you watch it on TV, even the lower seats you don't see filled until probably around mid-second quarter, closer to the end of the first half. I mean, which is very odd. I mean, it's just
you know what? Yeah, on the other hand, though, and we talked about that, and I was talking to, I was discussing the same situation, is that a lot of that is because the average fan doesn't come to the games anymore. He can't afford the games anymore. I mean, the top seats are now bought by corporations. So a lot of times, you know, these people are having dinner, you know, they'll get to the game 30 minutes, a half an hour later. You know, the real fan is not there anymore. I was talking, I remember that they told before the new Yankee Stadium came in, there was a guy had tickets right behind home plate, $150. Well, the next year, that same amount of money was going to get him tickets behind the home plate in the triple deck. In the triple deck. He's going to be upstairs in the triple deck watching. And I think what you said about this lack of fan base, this lack of support, is that because the real fan doesn't come to the game anymore. These tickets, and I saw that, and Rooney can attest to that too. We saw that in the closing days of Ewing's career, that where you know, those little seats were by corporations. I mean, no longer would you have the fan out there early to see a baseball batting practice, the fan out early to see you know shoot around because corporations are buying those seats. And what they're doing, okay, I got Sea Wings and Harold coming in on Thursday, so I got two tickets for the game on Thursday. I got Rooney coming on Friday. I got Muffin coming on Sunday. So we'll have dinner. And then, you know, and not only that, they can afford the price of these tickets. At the same time, they can write the expense off. And I think Cincinnati C, a.k.a. Miss NFL 411, that you really no longer have the true sincere fans at these games. Thought and opinion?
I mean, it's depending on the venue as well. I mean, you look at a place like OKC, you can't even buy tickets from Ticketmaster unless you live out there. And I think it's two other bordering states that they won't even sell you to, you know, sell the tickets to you. I don't even think they allow based on the rules and regulations of that team and the NBA and I guess what they have set up with Ticketmaster. I've never seen that before. I mean, you go look at a small a small market like OKC, that's not a Chicago, that's not a LA, it's not a New York, but even Philadelphia. But I think still you still see the fans there. They do spend that money. You look at Madison Square Garden, the Spike Lee area, as they say, or Celebrity Row. You know, the people are still there. They're buying the tickets. Even at the top, as the tickets continue to climb, people are going to come. I mean, it's just, I think, it has to do with the venue. It has to do with the market. It has to do with the interest around where the team is based. I mean, Yankee Stadium, people are still spending the money. Tickets go up. The people are there. They may not be sitting there around home plate, but they're going to come out. They're going to spend that money. It's packed. I mean, you know, you look at the New York Jets and New York Giants. Despite how the New York Jets play, they're still sold out. The Giants still sold out. I mean, L.A. Lakers sold out. You're always going to have that fan base, that interest. It's a Sunday afternoon. There's nothing to do. You go. You buy some couple of tickets and you take the family out. I mean, it may be expensive for some, but you still see the family coming. I always say it to my buddy Wayne there when we go out to the Yankees games, where is the recession? They're saying there's a recession, but yet the stadium's packed. People are spending money. The beer's flowing, the drinks and food and concessions and souvenirs. People are buying. Even when I was down in Miami, the store was packed.
I think what's happening with our society is where the fathers are taking the sons out to these games and trying to find out if their son is a football player, basketball player, or whatever, because the salaries are so high and they're just trying to get their sons or trying to get their kids into sports. And I think that this whole thing about sports today is almost like a family gathering today, seeing who out of the family is going to be be an athlete and be a professional later on. And you can see that happening. Like back in our day, it wasn't like that. You didn't have that combined. So many people in the family was worried about you being in sports because the money wasn't there, and it was a little window that everybody went through anyway to be in any kind of sports. You had to be just good to get into any kind of sport or be a professional. But today's time, the doors are so wide open that everybody who's got a girl or a guy, they just try and get them in some sports, and that's the bottom line with it all. Everybody's interested. Everybody want to be in the entertainment world, and that's what's happening to us.
But you know, there's slowly pricing regular families out of such things. If a guy wants to take his wife and say two kids to the ball game, You know, it just costs an awful lot for a regular working person to see these games now. And heaven forbid the guy himself or wife wants to, you know, maybe have a beer, kids want a couple of hot dogs. I mean, you got your $10 watered-down beer, you got your $8 hot dogs. After a while, you take, you know, a family of three, four, or five, and you're talking damn near $1,000, $600, $700, $800. They are slowly pricing out the regular, you know, regular working man.
Rudy, I'm with you on that, Rudy. I'm with that with you, Rudy. I know what Cincinnati C is saying, and maybe there are locations where the fan base is coming and they're keeping the tickets affordable. But per se, I mean, you look at Yankee Stadium. I mean, we talked about that too. Where, you know, in the old days, you could bring something in these. So you could, you know what? So I'll write it off. I'll bring my sandwiches and I'll bring my cold cuts and I'll buy the beer and the sodas. Now you can't bring anything in, but man, I mean, they're charging you what, $8, $10 a beer. I mean, they're charging you crazy numbers for food.
Yesterday at the Barclay, they charged a friend of mine $4.50 for a cup of water.
Look at the movie industry as well. I mean,
like
you go to the movies right now, it's just in the outer boroughs, forget Manhattan. I mean, you go for a price you take a couple and two kids. You go to a nice movie theater, you're paying about $12 a ticket, $13 a ticket. That's not including the 3D movies, which are upwards of nearly $20. So you almost got $100 in tickets right there. And then the food. You take the food, which the movie theaters, that's where they make their money. They don't even make the money from showing the film for the first couple of weeks. That goes back to the movie industry, which a lot of people don't know that. That's why the food is so expensive. And you take that, you're looking at a $200 night maybe with the food and the snacks and you know, whatever goes with it. I mean,
that's
why I guess everything is expensive.
That's why you do the smart thing. You feed the family before you go to the movies.
But you know what they do? I mean, you look in other places. I guess it's dependent where you go as well. I mean, you look at a ticket for floor seats at Madison Square Garden, the Knicks playing the Lakers. You're looking at sitting in the double A or the Spike Lee section. You're looking at a minimum of probably about $7,000-$8,000 per seat, at least. You go to a place like maybe San Antonio or Charlotte, you may be paying $300 or $400 to sit on the wood. It's incredible. It's just incredible.
Wow.
You know?
With everything involving New York is expensive. See, New York's an expensive place.
You hit it on the head because they say that the number one, the highest places where rent is being paid in this country is New York City and Brooklyn. And using Brooklyn as a segue, last night, Rudy, you know, you're in studio, you came in now. Harold Weston feels that Paulie Malignaggi pulled that fight off last night. Cisco concurs in the fact that Broner was the loser. He may have got the W. He was the loser. He's talking about going out to 140.
Yeah, he won the fight. He didn't win the battle. You know what I mean? He didn't win that.
Well, Doc, we had this discussion, Doc, and I told you my feeling of it was that the volume of punches went to Paul. Paulie's problem, Doc, is the way I saw that rumble is the guy can land volume of punches, you know, the jab or whatnot, but he can't break an A. So all night, Broner walked him down all night because didn't respect Paulie's power at all. You know, Paulie puts up a big volume of punches. He's got a lot of heart, but he can't break an A. That's why
I want you to go with that. Now, Harold says, and I concur, because I've never understood this power punch thing where I threw 14 power punches that round and you threw two. At the end of the fight, I threw 118 power punches and you throw seven, but you're still saying, I don't buy the power punch stuff. Harold says it's very simple. If you throw 47 punches and you land 38, and I throw 37 punches and I land 15, you win the round. I mean, you know, to a certain degree, that's a slap in the face to Paulie, to be the champion, to land more punches, to throw more punches, and lose a split decision. Hal says, you know, Hal landed most punches. But
in his hometown.
Ordinarily, I would agree with you, but it made a difference yesterday. The fact that he didn't respect Paulie's punching power, he spent the whole fight just trying to walk Paulie down. You know, he didn't have any respect for his punching power at all. So in yesterday's fight, it made a difference.
Yeah, but Rudy, he may not respect his power, but he's getting hit. He's getting hit.
How do you lose?
Yeah, don't you know how Paulie is? Doc, he's got a lot of hard to pick off, but he's basically throwing pity fat punches all night. I mean, the guy's
but
just basically throwing pity
fat, but what they're scoring.
It doesn't matter. He's throwing punches. And walk them down. And walk them down all night in the fight.
Hell, sister, get him.
Let me just finish the point.
You don't make common sense.
I'm gonna kill this right now. Check this out. You know, Paulie made a statement which was kind of true, right? How does a guy loses a decision, a close decision, because it was a close decision either way, in his hometown, because Paulie's from Brooklyn and Broner's from Cincinnati, not only loses a close decision, but loses, he's the champion. And Broner didn't beat up the champion. He didn't beat the champion. You know what I mean? The judges.
Well, Broner was very economical with his punches, Doc. But the fact of the matter is, at least as I see it, I didn't think Broner was nearly busy enough. So in that fact, Kyle and company is very right. He wasn't busy enough. Doc, let me finish this point. He wasn't busy enough, Broner. But the
there's
meaningful
another reason
shot,
why he wasn't busy enough.
Doc,
you're
can
talking
I finish
about
this
a
point,
guy
please?
Who's up to
the meaningful shots were landed by
sure
Broner, Doc. The shots that counted were landed by Broner.
How can the shots count? How many shots? You know, Roger Maris proved that all you have to do is hit the ball over the fence. He did it 61 times in 1961. Now he just, you know, have to go up a deck. You have to hit it 450. If the sign says 316, if you hit over the 316 fence, it's a home run. Now, if he did that three times and Mantle hit one 400 feet, it's still only one home run for Mickey Mantle and three home runs for Roger Maris. Rudy, I'm with the panel here, man. I can't give Broner power punches. I can't give Broner more punches. If Paulie Maldonado hit him more times than he got hit, if Paulie Maldonado is the champion last night, Paulie Maldonado got screwed.
The easiest thing. Rooney, just do this. Go to the rule book. Find me where you say power punches equals 10 punches to anybody that throws just patty punches. Go to the rule book.
You got to go to
that.
That's
all you got to do. Yeah. Just go to the rule book and find me.
I'm going to tell you why. The reason is because one guy's throwing pity tap punches and the other guy's landing lead right hands. That's a
that has nothing to do with
one guy,
it. My point is
one guy's
that
throwing
in the rule.
One guy's throwing pity tap punches.
He wasn't throwing pity tap punches.
The other guy's landing meaningful shots. That's the difference right there.
We got rules. It's rules. Listen to what I'm saying. Rules.
Hey, Doc, you know who won
the
fight. Rules out the window, man. You know two guys rumbled. You know who the hell won the fight. I don't want to hear about rules. I'm telling you who won the rumble. I thought myself that it could have went either way. I would have had a problem if they would have scored in the draw myself.
Check this out. Why would Paulie Maldonado, who got 7 knockouts on his record, why would he throw pity pat punches against Broner? You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't throwing pity pat punches.
Why would he? Because
he doesn't have power.
That's why.
He's not throwing pity pat punches. If you say Zaggy was throwing pity pat punches.
Hey, Cisco, Paulie can't break an egg, all right? He got a lot of heart and a decent jab, but the guy can't break an egg. What do you mean, why?
Rudy, what's that got to do with the fact that he landed more punches?
He was throwing punches. He was hitting Broner with body shots. He was hitting Broner with his jab. He occasionally
nothing that he landed was
right
meaningful,
hand.
Though, Cisco. Why do you think Broner was walking down
Rudy,
all night?
Rudy, how can you say that? How can you say Broner was more effective?
I got a guy here.
They both said after 12 rounds. After 12 rounds, they're both standing there. So what kind of power is Broner doing?
Yeah, but check this out. Remember the Angulo fight recently against Lara, against the Cuban Lara?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well, what was he doing? He was doing the same thing Broda was doing. He was catching punches, but the difference was that he was catching it with his face. You know what I mean? And and eventually he got stopped because of it. And he was landing punches occasionally here and there. He dropped the Cuban twice, but the Cuban threw so many punches against him and landed so many punches that eventually he got through. Eventually he busted it through.
Yeah.
Difference is Paulie didn't have the punching power to do what Lara did to Angulo, which is throw enough punches to eventually break your guy down. He didn't have the punching power, and that's why Broner continually just kept walking in front of him, catching punches, because that's all he was doing the entire night, was catching punches. Either he'd catch him with his gloves, or he'll catch him on the body, occasionally to the face. So it wasn't an effective fight at all. He wasn't throwing that many punches, and this is boxing. This is not an opposing contest, which you're doing a lot of.
You know something, Cisco? Your point is well taken. If this would have been amateur boxing, you might have had a point with Paulie. But this is the pros, and the meaningful shots were landed by Broner. It's just as simple as that. Last night is very simple. The guy that they figured could make more money was the guy they gave the fight to.
Not a lot of it. He did not land a lot of meaningful punches. He did land meaningful punches, not a lot of it.
If Broner was landing those kind of punches, well, how come he didn't stop Paulie the way Khan did? How come he didn't beat up Paulie the way Cotto did? How come he didn't stop Paulie the way Paulie's been stopped by other guys?
And why didn't he hurt him like Paulie did?
You know what Paulie said?
Why did Paulie get hurt?
You know what Paulie said? Right. Paulie said he knows women that hit harder than Broner.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, but
he didn't get the decision, though. All that talk is let me say this, okay? The fact of the matter is the guy was in his own hometown in front of his own home crowd and didn't come away with the decision. So there you go right there.
Why? Because
the guy's fighting at home in his own home base.
He's not
and the guy's making a decision in his own place. That's it, right?
Don't let's talk about his decision now. We can talk about managers, okay, who has a connection. That goes a long way.
Oh, my God, Hal. Could you say that one more time, Al?
He's an Al Haymon fighter. Al Haymon's got the boxing world by the grips. You're an Al Haymon fighter. You most likely get away with a decision. You most likely get away with strategically choosing your fights. I mean, look at Floyd Mayweather. He's an Al Haymon fighter. When was the last time we saw Floyd Mayweather have one of the challenges of his career? You know what I mean? Come on. Last time we saw him get an opponent in front of him that we could say, damn, man, I don't know if he's going to win this fight. You know, come on.
And you know what? I'll tell you something. If that card last night was a Don King card, they would have said fix. They were looking to run Don out of boxing.
Of course.
But nobody's saying one thing about Golden Boy. They're not saying one word about Golden Boy. I mean, you know, really, we got to look at this, man. Paulie landed. And here's the amazing thing. Okay, here's the white guy losing to the black guy, and he outdid him. The white guy losing to the black guy, and he outdid him. Only
but
the white
guy
wasn't
connected. That's the problem.
I just thought Paulie. Black Stanley. It's a Sunday night. Rudy, hold on, Rudy. Okay, the boxing thing. Let's cool down,
Rudy,
boxing.
Let me say one more thing, Doc.
When
Paulie fought at the Barclay the last time before this fight, he fought Pablo Cano. Remember him? He fought the Mexican, right?
And he looked terrible. I thought he lost the fight.
He lost that fight,
right?
He got the decision. Why? Because he was the better connected fighter. He was fighting under the Golden Boy umbrella, you know, and they weren't going to let him lose that fight. So the same thing that happened to him winning the fight. The previous fight happened to him in this fight, but he wasn't a fighter winning the fight this time, a close fight, you know. This time he got the taste of his own medicine because the Pablo Cano fight, he lost that fight. But because he was the better connected fighter, the politically connected fighter, like he said last night, you know what I mean? That's why he won that fight. And last
well, despite
night,
all those connections, watching the fight, I thought at the end of it, my thoughts were, hey, this fight could go either way. I wouldn't mind if they called it a draw. And I think one of the judges, I think it might have been Melvina Latham, I think she did call it a draw. So there you go right there.
No. African-American female boxing commissioner. She used to judge, you're right, but she doesn't judge anymore. One judge had a 117-111. That's the one everybody said they don't know where he was at. Yeah, I think Paulie used a great line when they had another crazy score, and he said, well, maybe that judge came in with his scorecard already filled out, okay? So, you know, 117-111. You know, quickly, Rooney, let's go back to
basketball. You know what, Paulie,
I think one judge had it as a draw, Doc, and I wouldn't have minded that. I thought it could have went either way or a draw, really. As far as I'm concerned, nobody raised any yellow. Let me finish, Doc. As far as I'm concerned, nobody raised any yellow in that fight. It could have went either way. Nobody grew up that rumble.
But that's what everybody's saying, Rooney, that nobody raised any yellow. So
the consensus is, if you're the champion, right, you're the champion, you have to beat the champion. Not a close fight. You have to beat the champion. He didn't beat the champion.
That is such an old worn thing about you got to beat the champion.
That has been the credo for years. And when guys lost, the first thing they said was, you got to beat the champion. They said about Larry Holmes, Spinks got to beat the champion. How many times has that said?
But Doc, that didn't happen with
Pacquiao.
When Carlos
that didn't happen with Pacquiao
Holmes,
and Bradley.
The decision.
Bradley didn't beat
Pacquiao. There you go.
He didn't beat him.
Bradley Pacquiao. People said, man, Bradley didn't beat the champion. But now you're telling me that doesn't apply to Paulie Malignaggi in Brooklyn? Come on, Rooney. And
Doc. The fact of the matter is, the volume, as I'm trying to tell you, as far as I was concerned, obviously Paulie threw the larger volume of punches, but I thought the more meaningful shots, the lead right hands and the more meaningful shots, even though Broner was really economical with it, the more meaningful shots, as far as I was concerned, were landed by Broner.
But Rudy, how can it be more meaningful if they're both standing? He never knocked them down.
Harder than he's getting hit. That's what meaningful is to me. He's harder than he's hitting you. Those are the meaningful shots.
You know what the problem is?
That's what meaningful means.
You know what the problem is?
That
you
harder than you hit me. That's what meaningful means.
Listen, lately, Rudy has been seeing a lot of things lately. And last night, he didn't see. He's been seeing a lot of things, but last night he didn't see. Doc Stanley, Block Talk Radio. That's the guy. That was the gang is all here. Double Barrel Harold Weston Jr., Cincinnati C, a.k.a. Mr. NFL 411, the Cisco Kid, and Mel Cosell, a.k.a. Little Kelco, a.k.a. Rudy. We're here. We're talking basketball. We're talking baseball. We've been talking boxing. Hey, we've been boxing ourselves after night. Last night, Adrian Broner regained his undefeated status, won a world championship. There's talk that Brenner Hopkins will be back in the ring soon. It's finally settled, they say. Yesterday they said Doc Rivers was not going to go to L.A. Today it's confirmed. Doc Rivers is the new coach of the L.A. Clippers. And Rooney, you want to hear, Hal said he sees that as a tremendous marriage. He thinks that's a real good deal there, Rooney.
Well, you know something, that might be, Doc. I myself always wanted Doc to coach the Lakers myself, to be honest with you. I thought that would have been just an awesome, awesome combination. But, you know, Doc's going to do okay over in the West Coast. The guy's a basketball genius. You know, Doc, I had many conversations when he was a guard with the Knicks, many private conversations after the game, and just knew the guy had a basketball mind. Doc is a great coach, and he's going to do well with the Clippers, Doc. That's going to be a really good marriage over there.
Yeah. Hello.
Loud.
Yeah,
I didn't hear.
Yeah.
What did I say? Everybody think?
No, I think it's a good match. I saw the Clippers. Like I said, I told Doc, I saw them fight a play like two or three times. And they put on a show. They ain't just putting on a basketball fight. They put on a show. I mean, the whole team is like, it's like almost like the Globetrotters, but you know, not as much as Globetrotters. But they just put on a show. They're wonderful to watch. I'm telling you, they're wonderful to watch. And Doc going over there now, it's really going to be a little swag in that team.
It is. Good job, Howard. It is. And by the way, my favorite trotter was always Curly Neal. Anyway.
Okay.
I like. No, my favorite play was the geese. I like the geese.
The geese Tatum.
Curly Neal went to went to high school with some friends of mine. Lived in my building, and down from North Carolina, AT&T. I got a chance to meet the Globetrotters. In fact, in the Trust in God Sports and Deaf Entertainment Hall of Fame, we have an autograph picture of with the Globetrotters, Curly Neal, Goose Tatum, part of that legendary group, the legendary Harlem Globetrotters. I remember one time the great Connie Hawkins. I remember, never forget, when Connie was playing with the Globetrotters for a while, and I remember he got introduced, and Frank Gifford said, what a way to introduce a great basketball player. And, you know, Wilt Chamberlain at one time, and we've got a lot of Wilt stuff here in the Trust in God Sports and Deaf Entertainment Artifact Hall of Fame. Wilt played with the Globetrotters a while. Talked about what a tremendous education it was to travel and go around the world and experience and learn how to play. So, Wilt learned his fallaway bank shot that he developed before he got too strong to use it, playing with the Harlem Globetrotters. MSG, Friday night fight this week is Kevin Kelly and his championship-winning WBC featherweight fight. Next week, it's two fights. Zab Judah winning his title and defending his title in the past. It was Alexis Oguayo against Aaron Pryor. Their fight two. Mark Wheeland winning after 16-0 record. His first world championship in Atlantic City on February 7, 1987. My brother's birthday. Birthday wishes real quick. Derek Jeter on the 26th. Mike Tyson on the 30th, along with our own Gilberto Ortiz. And my sister on the 27th. My grandfather, same birthday, Derek Jeter. Those birthdays in this month and the past. Remember, late Leroy Neiman on the 8th. Roberto Duran on the 16th. The last boxing president, Bobby Goodman, shares a birthday along with Leroy Neiman on the 7th. The day before is Prince, Allen Iverson, and the late Burt Randolph Sugar. And all that talk about Iverson kidnapping his kid. You know, it's just amazing how negative news about minorities gets out there. And it seems, Don King once said, you know, a black man can tell the truth if it's perceived as a lie, and a white man can tell a lie if it's perceived as the proof. Allen Iverson did not kidnap his kids. And the thing that I remember Anthony Mason said one time when they had him on some charges with his girl, he said, you know what? This whole story is all in the back page of the news. And when the retraction comes, when the truth comes out, it's going to be in page 13, so small you can hardly read it. Carol, don't you get say sad and touching. Okay, Rudy, you felt that the Heat were going to win. They won the big six game. They didn't win the six game. They would lose it. You know, what did you see?
Well, I had to win the game like 6 and 7, Doc. I felt that the home court was going to mean an awful lot. I mean, I know both teams lost the game in their own home court, but I thought that those final games being in Miami was going to mean an awful lot, and as it turned out, it did. Although I do have to say, Doc, that San Antonio had chances to win this thing, man. And I thought, no one says this, Doc, but I thought Popovich was out coached in the series. I thought Popovich was out coaching some of the substitutions that he made. I thought he was keeping Duncan on the bench too long at times. Parker.
Especially in game
six. I thought he tried to mix and match too many different times instead of just having your big time players out there. You know, my coaching philosophy is that unless, you know, there are injuries that you're looking forward to or very big time foul trouble, you got to have your main guys out there. I mean, you know, if I'm coaching Miami, you know, we got to have Wade, and even though he didn't start off having a great series, but you got to have Wade, LeBron, and Bosh out there. Equally, you have to have Duncan and Parker and company out there. You got to have your big time players out on the floor.
You say something. Larry Bird talked about that too. He said, you know, the prime time players got to be out there. He said between the timeouts that are called by TV yourself and the opposition, you know, it's more than enough time to gather yourself and get your breath. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network. Sports and Death brought to you by Sal E. Brazos Restaurant. Louis Soto, Sal E. Brazos Restaurant. DCJ Productions, which brought you this past weekend and the week before in both São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, and Fortaleza. Billy Paul, Mr. Nomarada, for the big day, the 12th, which is Valentine's Day in Brazil. Also, Marina Park, Chipitos, and the best three-star hotel in all of Brazil. and that's Justino's Trapper Jaro Hotel. These are the sponsors for Trust in God, Sports in Depth Radio. The Blog Talk Radio is our pusher. Trust in God Radio Network brings you the show, and the sponsors, once again, Sal E. Brazos and Louis Soto, Sal E. Brazos Restaurant, DCJ Productions, sorry about that, Desio, and Chipito's Marina Park and the iconic Tabajara Hotel. And speaking of Brazil, they're playing well. They played some undefeated football so far. Neymar is going to play with Barcelona. You got to think, wow, how him and Messi are going to be some kind of team. And at the same time, Brazil is getting ready for the World Cup. And there's still some talk. There was still some discontentment, some concern about the coach not putting the likes of Ronaldo and Kaká on the team. But so far, it looks pretty good. Brazil is undefeated. They beat Italy. They avenged their loss to Mexico to a certain degree, beating Mexico 2-0. Mexico beat them 2-1 in the Olympics, as Brazil is still, yet out of all their accomplishments, the Olympic gold, even though they haven't played in every one of the Olympics. But right now, Neymar and the Brazilians are rocking and rolling. The Italians have played well. Spain, the defending champion, has not lost a match in the last 23 matches. They are rocking and rolling. Got to watch the German team. They played so well, too. It's the FIFA Cup tournament. FIFA Cup is happening right now. And the winner of this year will probably be looked as a favorite or definite contention, as the World Cup will be played next year in Brazil. And then Brazil, 2016, will have the first ever for a Latin country, the Olympics. Some things have been happening. If you're reading, there have been some protesting. The fair went up, and Rio de Janeiro, Recife, even my beloved Fortaleza, they had some protests. But there was some fear about that maybe this would bring some negativity to the World Cup, some fear that maybe there would be people who wouldn't want to come. But right now, all it is just talk. The World Cup, everything is still set right now for Brazil. They'll be playing that next year. The last time Brazil hosted the World Cup, they lost. They lost to the first team ever to win the World Cup, Paraguay. 1-0 to Paraguay. It was startling. I think as the late manager, he still was, Lewis Simon said, the loudest was ever heard in Brazil. They lost 1-0 to Paraguay. Right now they're hosting the games again. No team has won more World Cups than the great Brazilians. 5 World Cups, and Pelé by himself won 3 of those. The great Pelé, considered by all to be the greatest football player ever. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Sports in Depth. It's a Sunday wrap. The crew is all here. Legends that they be. Mel, Cosell, a.k.a. Little Coco, a.k.a. Rooney Jr., Harold Weston Jr., Double Bow Harold, the Cisco Kid, a friend of mine, a friend of yours, always bless a mighty fine wine, and Cincinnati C, a.k.a. Mr. NFL 411. Mr. NFL 411, we talked about this a little bit. What's the latest with Tebow now? He's in New England. We haven't heard anything. Is he going to make the team? But the big thing, too, forget about Tebow. What's the story with Hernandez? I mean, is he going to be charged? Supposedly, a friend of his, somebody he knew, his body was found about a mile away. What's the story with that? Is he going to be charged? And what's that whole story about? Give us the 411 on that. Where's Cincinnati C?
I mean, the big story behind it is his behavior. He was seen with his friend Olden Lloyd, who's a semi-pro football player, and who dates Aaron Hernandez's fiance's sister. They were seen leaving out of his house, I believe it was before the weekend, and his body was found about a mile away. There are reports coming out of Boston that he, when they were on to him and wanted to do, you know, question him, it appears that he destroyed his cellular phone. He destroyed his surveillance system in his house, and it appears that he allegedly had his house scrubbed down. So they're looking to file charges of obstruction of justice, that being
when you may destroy evidence or prevent the authorities from doing their job, that is the charge that is normally brought against you. It seems to, though, that the financial impact has already started on him. The company, the makers of Muscle Milk, whom he had a contract with, have dropped him from their campaign, their ads. So that's just the beginning of it. So as the investigation goes, they were in his house over the weekend searching. I think they were talking about bringing dogs in to search for any evidence. They executed a search warrant upon his home. So this saga here is not over by a long shot. The New England Patriots have declined to make any comments, nor have the National Football League and the Office of the Commissioner, Roger Goodell, has yet to make any comments on this, as there
now,
is
now, don't you find that kind of strange, Cincinnati, don't you find that kind of strange? Here's a situation, and we're not talking about a traffic ticket, you know, we're not talking about DWI. Don't you find that kind of strange? Are they being kind of hypocritical here? I mean, the Patriots don't have nothing to say, and the league has nothing to say. I mean, I think there's an obligation to the public and a responsibility. I mean, I'm feeling that somewhere along the line, you know, this is not the kind of mindset or the behavior that either the Patriots or the NFL should take. You know, yes or no?
I mean, I think the stance that they're taking legally is the correct stance to, you know, there is an active investigation. He hasn't been charged with anything at this point. So it would be premature on the part of the Patriots or the National Football League to make a statement other than that he's being investigated in regards to a homicide investigation. That's not to say you have to be very careful, especially when you carry the weight such as a football team that is prolific and storied as the New England Patriots and as a business, the highest grossing sport in the country of the United States, to just come out and make a statement.
Well, I'm not saying that you have to come out. I'm not saying that you have to come out. But I'm trying to say, Rooney, I'm just trying to say you have to say something. You just can't take this silent approach.
I know, I really have to go with you on this, Doc. It's an ongoing criminal investigation. I don't know what it is that they can say at this point, Doc. I mean, it is an ongoing criminal investigation. They can't put themselves out there in any meaningful way. Well, as Steve said, they have an ongoing criminal investigation.
Well, okay,
and then you can open up yourself
maybe I'm talking to the wrong two people. Let me try Harold. Maybe somebody will see me. No, I'm just trying to say they have to kind of say something. I mean, if you're telling me, though, that they've had basically said that all that can be said, well, that's okay, that's great. I mean, I just want to, you as expert, let our fans know that, you know, they have done what they should have done and what they could do. And that's great. That's all I need to know. You know, get to the 411 on the subject. It's a grave situation. Wow, man, when you come up and you look at that whole thing and the so-called what can be perceived, like I said, you know, what is one thing and what it isn't is another. And like I said, you know, in time will tell. And you know, you just brought up a great point. This is the number one grossing sport in America. And I would just want to let the fans know that, okay, that they haven't taken a silent stand. They haven't taken we're not speaking stand. They've taken what you say, CeCe, and Rooney. They've taken the appropriate course, and also from a legal standpoint of view, they are doing what they should be doing. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's the best stance, and also they have to look out to protect the shield, that National Football League shield. I mean, if you come out and jump the gun and put the horse before the cart, or the cart before the horse, you can open up yourself for civil litigation as well, slander and different issues like that. I mean, I'm not an attorney, but, I mean, you can open up yourself to that. I mean, it's still very early infancy of the investigation. Also, there was a man in South Florida claiming that Aaron Hernandez had shot him in the face in a strip club. So, I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, he has a long way to go with this. This is just not going to go away overnight. You know, being on the team, a National Football League player, I mean, you look at the countless number of football players who have gotten in trouble over the many years. As we speak, Chad Ochocinco, that was made some quick headline news when he patted the posterior of his lawyer in court during the proceeding. Not only going before a judge, you went before a female judge.
What a moron, see. But I mean, really. I mean, what a moron. I mean, he was about to get off, about to walk. Judge is going to let him walk, see. Pardon me for interrupting. But the judge is going to let him walk. And in front of, as Stephen A would say, Stephen A. Smith, a female judge. She's about to let you walk on this thing, on some technicality or some such thing, or your own recognizance, whatever. And you pat your lawyer on the behind in front of a female judge who just let you get over, basically.
Was the lawyer a female lawyer?
A male lawyer.
Yes.
No.
It was a male lawyer.
Okay. Now, first of all, this is my school. So if it's a male lawyer, isn't it the kind of thing that athletes always do all the time to other athletes? Okay,
that's number one. They do that on the field, not in a court.
Hold on, 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 hold on,
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, What was it over?
It was over domestic.
I know it. I know exactly what you're talking about. And you know what? He was getting off easy. He actually was getting off easy because I saw the pictures of that woman's face, dude. I mean, he headbutted her so hard he split her forehead open. I mean, he kicked.
Wow.
She was busted. I saw the pictures, dude. And regardless of what she did, I mean, they had just got married. Whatever she said or whatever the hell, I mean, you're a football player. You don't go in. You headbutt your wife.
You don't do that to your lady, man. You don't do that to a woman, period.
I mean, that in the words of our great Howard Weston, sad and touching. You know, Howard, you better coin that thing along with Rooney. A point well taken. But my only thing with that is, you know, if you exonerate him for the charges, I mean, you know, it's not like he was holding his penis in his hand. I mean, I don't think that was the kind of gesture that you'd lock him up for that. I mean, you know, he's an athlete.
But I think the judge overreacted.
Yeah, the judge was giving him a break, and he just reacted too quickly, and the judge just said, "Nah, you ain't gonna play here in my courtroom." You should know, I was always told, when you go to the court and you respect the court, and you just walk out of here as quiet as you can.
Yep.
And that's
the
bottom line when you go to court. Now, see, these knuckleheads out here today, they just don't respect things no more. And that's what's happening to them. So you should not be surprised by all the stupidness that they do.
I just thought that maybe the judge would have took, you know, the other way. I mean, the great man Ali said, you know, I understood where he's coming from, and he understood where they were coming from. I just thought that, you know, that guy being an athlete, you kind of understand athletes do that. That's athletes do that. I mean, it's not like the guy was a painter. You know, it's not like the guy who was a concert pianist. It's not like the guy, you know, who was a teacher. The guy's an athlete. This is what athletes do.
But his lawyer wasn't an athlete. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's true, Doc. You got to remember, he's not on the
football
field. He's not on the football field. He's in court.
Right.
I mean,
right.
But Doc, hold on.
Cisco, would you say he's an athlete, but the lawyer wasn't, huh?
Yeah.
And listen, Cisco, and evidently the judge wasn't either. judge
exactly.
wasn't even.
She was not. Hey, Doc, she was not amused. Let's just put it that way, okay? She was not amused.
Doc Nelly, Blog Talk Radio, Sutton Guardrail, Network Sports and Depth. It's a Sunday, a good 15 minutes left. What's been happening? The Heat came back and won back-to-back NBA championship. Pauly Malignaggi loses a controversial decision. And Doc Rivers is finally going to the Clippers. Tiger Woods will not play any golf until the British Open due to injury. Serena Williams and Maria Sofia are having a little, man, they had a little back and forth there, a little tee to tee there. The world's number one ranked female player and the world's number two player as Wimbledon starts. Neymar, the talk of all football, is he leading Brazil right now to undefeated record in the FIFA Cup, and he's now going to play with Barcelona. And another legendary football player, Messi, back here on the scene in New York City. Derek Jeter came to town yesterday, old-timers game today. Jeter, who we thought would play opening day, who thought we would be playing in May, and now the talk is he'll be playing after the All-Star game. He celebrates his birthday on the 26th of this month. The next day, my sister Helen, the twin, and Mike Tyson and Gilberto Ortiz celebrate on the 30th of this month.
Let's not
Jeter.
Forget you, Doc, on the 27th.
Thanks a lot,
distinguished host. Happy birthday to our distinguished host, Doc Stanley, who will be celebrating his 21st birthday on June
27th. Here, hey, listen. You know what, fellas, you can finally take me to get a beer. Thanks so much for the kind words. You know, birthday, too. You know, our own Hoops had a birthday this month. Today, you know, I want to say something to you. You know, my grandson, Turquoise, who, as you know, she's named after a godmother, who was the wife then of a godmother, Jesus Herbert. She christened my latest grandson today. He had a christening for him, so all the family was over there. Yeshiva Xavier Felton, Linton. I just call him King David, but just want to salute him and also Christian, his little boy. He got christened today. We also want to say birthday wishes to the Hoopster, my father-in-law, my ex-wife, but he will always be Juanito Santiago Perez. The first is the Christian, my two girls, my daughter and my grandson on the 20th, my daughter Chastity and son boy Christian, they opened them up, my Uncle Robert. So June's been a big, my grandfather, who birthday was the 26th of June, from June 26th to the end of July, and counting June, he's had only 13 grandchildren and great-grandchildren born. The Toronto Blue Jays, who everybody thought was going to raise some sand, they are 11 straight wins. It is a franchise record. They're back to 500, and they're in the running. And, wow, you got to be looking at that. They got some outstanding players. R.A. Dickey's there. Reyes, who came from the Mets too, won 3 out of 4 the other day. They're starting to play a little better baseball. Don Mattingly and the Dodgers came in town, a two-game series. They split that. The Dodgers have sort of been underachieving right now, but injuries, it's hard to play. They've been underachieving, but Mattingly, considered by many the finest defensive first baseman ever. Can't forget 42, the story about Jackie Robinson. And when you talk about 42, the man who will be the last man ever to wear number 42 in the history of baseball as we move to the 21st century, the greatest closer in history of the game, the pride of Panama, Mariano Rivera. And I'm thinking in a lot of ways that Derek Jeter will maybe see how this year goes, if he can close the year out in a pretty good fashion. And maybe, I'm thinking, Rooney, he will do the same thing Mariano did, that next year could be the last we see of Derek Sanderson Jeter.
Well, with Derek, Doc, I'm taking a wait-and-see attitude. I mean, before he was, throwing on the sidelines and playing catch, then he was going to come back, then he had a setback. With Derek, I'm just taking a strictly wait-and-see attitude, Doc. When I see him on the field, when I actually see him introduced into the starting lineup and actually see him on the field playing, that's when I believe that Derek Jeter is back.
Do you think there's a possibility that we could be seeing the last of Derek Jeter? Maybe his injury may be the push out the door where he retires from the game?
Well, you know, Doc, the injury that he has is not something that you just got. It can be kind of tricky, Doc. It's easy to re-injure, and the whole nine. So, as I said, you know, he can suffer, like, just a lot of setbacks. And in the case of Derek Doc, like I said, I'm taking a wait-and-see attitude. When I actually see him actually literally introduced and little and on the field playing the game of baseball, then I will believe that that Derek is back. As for your second question, though, Doc, we may be seeing the final stands of Derek's absolutely brilliant career. I mean, the guy was the face of the Yankees, the Yankee captain, has conducted himself throughout his career as a gentleman, never a breath of scandal. The guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he has all the credentials. But, you know, this is the twilight of his career. There's no question about that.
You know, you bring a point of two, and when I talked with Joe Torre, the last time I talked to Joe, and we want to salute his daughter. And I get everybody here in the news. She's walking along the street there, and she caught a baby falling out the window there. And just salute Joe Torre's daughter. And I remember the thing that Joe talked about, and Buck Showalter, when we talked about Derek as he was approaching 3,000 hits. And they both said, you know, the amazing thing about Derek is his ability beyond just playing the game. He's the greatest shortstop in history of the Yankees, one of the 10 greatest shows all the time. But his ability to live in this fishbowl where the spotlight is always on him, and yet you never hear any negativity about Derek Jeter. You know what I mean? He's always got his pants zipping up. He never threw no paper on the floor. And it's just they just thought it was a credit. And it says a lot about him as an individual and him as his parents. And I've always said this about Derek. Derek Jeter wears number two because he's second to none. Appropriate number. He's second to none as a person, as a player. He's everything Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be and everything Mickey Mantle wasn't. A real live American hero. My buddy Derek Sanderson Jeter, glad to hear he's back around. Happy birthday to you. And we all love and respect you deeply. We've got some fights coming up. Marquez, Bradley, Pacquiao is going to fight Brandon Rios. How do you see that Pacquiao-Brandon Rios fight there, Harold?
I don't know. I don't know what Pacquiao's got left. You know what I'm saying? After you get knocked out like he did, anything can happen at this time. And then I didn't see
a guy. I have to ask you something about that, Doc. Just really quickly, Doc. Being one of the, you know, the ultimate professionals and you know, one of the top fighters, you know, in his weight class in his day.
Well, truly good fighter in his day.
So, Doc, I wanted to ask how this, because I think it had something to do with the Pacquiao loss. Hey, Harold, do you know that banging, the boom, boom, boom that you get saying that is 10 seconds left in the round? If you watch that Pacquiao fight with Marquez, Harold, he's fighting his usual fight, has his guard up, and he looks like he relaxes, Harold, as soon as he gets that boom, 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 signifying his 10 seconds left. It's like he dropped his guard anticipating the end of the round, and that's when he got hit with that knockout shot. Does that signify that boom, 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 that boom, boom, boom that you get with 10 seconds left, Doc? Harold, is there any tendency of guys to let down knowing that the end of the round is upon them?
Well, the only thing about that signal is the fact to let you know you only got 10 seconds left. You should never let your hands down until the final bell rings. And unfortunately, the referee do tell you at the beginning, protect yourself at all times. So, I mean, the bottom line, you know, if you don't protect yourself and you get clipped with a shot that you think you heard the bell or whatever and your hand goes down, then that's your fault. I mean, it just goes with the territory.
How you got? We got Marquez and Bradley. How do you see that, Harold?
That's an interesting fight. You know what I mean? That's a real interesting. I like Marquez in that. I mean, Marquez is just a smart fighter. You know what I'm saying? Bradley's all right. He's a game kid. But Marquez uses his brain. And I got to go with the guy that uses his brain more than the guy that's just trying to be aggressive and just trying to throw a whole lot of punches. So I think Marquez is going to beat Bradley in this one.
Now, how do you see Alvarez and Mayweather?
Very interesting fight.
Oh, my.
It's a very interesting fight. I mean, the young boy has shown a lot to me. I think Mayweather's getting him at the right time because the kid ain't got – he's got enough – he's got experience, but he don't have as much as Mayweather has. And I think Mayweather's catching him now. If the kid got two or three more fights underneath his belt, Mayweather will be in trouble with him. But I think it's an interesting fight for one good reason. The kid can punch,
And I have seen Mayweather get shaked up quite a few times when he got hit. And this kid hit harder than anybody that Mayweather has ever fought.
Thank you, Harold. Hey, Harold, I've been telling Doc for the last few weeks and the rest of the crew, Harold. I've been telling Doc and the rest of the crew for the last few weeks, and Harold, you're familiar with this phrase. I see something.
Oh, here we go. Cisco, come in here, please. Cisco, how do you see Alvarez Mayweather, Cisco?
I gotta say this, okay? Against my man, Mel. Mel was the guy that was picking Trout
right.
to beat Canelo.
Right.
The last time we had a conversation, you know, now he's the other way around. Now he's a believer. It's hard to understand this guy.
But I still say that that wasn't the Trout that fought
Cotto.
That wasn't the Trout that fought Cotto?
That wasn't the Trout that fought Cotto at the Garden,
yeah,
Cisco. That wasn't the same Trout.
I tell you why that wasn't the Trout that fought Cotto, because Canelo changed his game plan once he clipped him and knocked him down. I mean, that's crazy to even say that. You know what I mean? To even say that that's not the Canelo.
So he didn't look like the same guy, Cisco. He just didn't look like the same guy.
He didn't look like the same guy because Canelo made him look that way. You know what I mean? You can't take nothing away from Canelo. I mean, Canelo actually was the guy. That's why you picked Trout, because you didn't see how this kid was going to be.
No. The reason that I picked Trout was I expected the Trout that gave that gritty performance against Cotto, I expected that Trout to show up. That's why I picked Trout.
But there's a difference.
Show.
Canelo is better
that's
than Cotto. There's a difference. Mm. Canelo is better than Cotto. That's the bottom line right
Cisco,
now.
Cisco, real quickly. Well, I got you thinking. Then I want you to give me the opinion on Alvarez and Mayo. Can we still, Cisco, possibly see Alvarez Cotto happen?
I don't know. I don't know if we, you know, no, I don't even think so. I mean, unless he loses body to Mayweather, or if he loses, we may see that. But I think that's a fight that Cotto should stay away from. Cotto will get beat badly by this kid.
Probably knocked out.
That's just the bottom. Yeah, that's just the bottom line. He
okay,
stay,
so
you know,
then,
the
so now, who you taking Alvarez and Mayweather?
I told you already. I you can't go against a winning horse. You know, Mayweather's the winning horse. But there's a big asterisk in this situation. If you think about it, the kid, even though it's one fight, and I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon because it's one fight, but he showed some improvement from one fight to the next. He did something that he rarely does, which was head movement, you know, something that he rarely did in any other fight.
Right.
You know, he stuck behind his jab pretty well, something that he didn't do very well in his previous fights. His footwork was even good. His balance was even good, which was something that, you know, I mean, he's always been a kind of a balanced fighter. The only problem I had with Canelo was that when he had Trout hurt, he didn't finish him off, and two, that he got tired, you know what I mean, and allowed Trout to get back into that fight and kind of beat him up a little bit. So, you know, that's the only concern. But he doesn't have that problem. The problem that he had with Trout, he's not going to have it with Floyd, because Floyd also fights in spurts. So he's not going to have a guy who's going to be coming at him in pressure and throwing a lot of punches.
But
not what Floyd does.
Hey, Doc, let me just say this. Floyd Mayweather, he better not be a 15-1 favorite. Okay. Like last night was 15-1. He better not be a 15-1 favorite. Because if he's a 15-1 favorite, you can believe me, there's going to be a whole lot of bets on that one.
And I will say this. If the fight is close on the scorecards, close, like last night, Canelo wins.
I agree. Who'd you hear that from, Doc?
Close on the scorecards.
Who'd you hear that from, Doc?
Whatever you're drinking, he's drinking.
I don't think Floyd wins a close decision against
I told him that for weeks I've been on that bandwagon.
You've been in it for the last 3 weeks.
If he goes the 12 rounds,
I mean, think about it. Oscar lost that fight against Floyd. You know, he got a box. But on the scorecards, that fight was close. It was a split decision win for Floyd Mayweather. And he only lost it by 1 point. You understand?
No.
So
what fight was that?
If Oscar was able to fight a close fight against Floyd Mayweather and actually was being outboxed by Floyd, I can see if Canelo, if the fight with Canelo is close, I can see Canelo, even if Floyd edges him out a bit, I can still see Canelo winning the fight controversially. I can see it happening.
Now, well, how do you see, Harold?
I was going to say that the kid is a younger up-and-coming star. I mean, out of all that, if he wins, beat Floyd Mayweather, believe me, he's a superstar of the whole sport from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's colorful.
Mm-hmm. And it's his
colorful.
Right. And you got to think about this. They're fighting on Mexican Independence Day, which is Canelo is Mexican.
Right.
Also, there's a reason why Floyd Mayweather is choosing Latin fighters. He fought Cotto, he fought Guerrero, who's Mexican, and he's fighting Canelo, who's Mexican. So, he usually fights. His dates are on Mexican Independence Days. I mean, on Mexican holidays. So, you got Cinco de Mayo, which he usually fights that weekend. You know,
right.
And he fights on September, which is usually the you know. He knows that fighting a Latin fighter is going to bring in numbers. That's why
But numbers bring money. There's a big press conference tomorrow, 2 o'clock Times Square, media by 1:30. Bradley and Marquez, Cisco.
Hey, Doc, I'm not going to be able to give my analysis.
Rudy, we know yours already.
I mean, Marquez, everybody gave their analysis. Am I going to give my 30 seconds to give my analysis?
Calm down, Rudy. Okay, Cisco, I need your pick, Bradley and Marquez.
I forgot to mention, I don't know if you guys heard before the Broner fight with Malignaggi, he has some charges against him for it sounded ironic when I read it, but for purse snatching, they punched him and some guy punched a woman in the face and took a purse or something like that. And
Broner?
I don't know if it's old charges, but once he goes back to Cincinnati, he's to face the judge or something like that.
You know, this is interesting, ladies and gentlemen. And these are the kind of things that's why I say sports is brings you an in-depth look, not only at the sports, but the athletes who perform and playing them, and you hear all these things first and right here on Sports in Depth. The Cisco Kid, Rooney, give us a closeout real quick, and we'll get Mike on, lights off. Give me a quick closeout, Rooney.
Well, Doc, the Sports in Depth Nation's been here. The Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mo Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink has been here, and that's been the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
And Larry Harsey has something to say. Larry?
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
Gentlemen, don't move. Let Marvin Gaye have his say, and we'll be right back. Marvin, you got something to say?
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
Fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live for life.
Life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life. For the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, but who really cares?
And with that, we'll do a quick few minutes of mic on, lights off. Rudy, bring us back in. Sports and Depth, mic on, lights off.
Well, again, this is Sports and Depth Extra. Mic's on, lights off. Sports and Depth panel is here. Sports and Depth Nation is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. Again, we are here by the Sports and Depth Radio Network. And the Strother Curtis Frank is here with Sports and Depth. Mics on, lights off, and that is the Incomparable Doc Family. Again, take it away, good doctor.
Thank you, Rudy. And with that, let's slide on into a little something real quick. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Radio, Sports in Depth, brought to you by Shapiro's, Sally Braza Restaurant, GCJ Productions, Marina Park, and the legendary, iconic Caballero Hotel, all in Brazil. Real quickly, looking at the pictures real quick, we told you there's LeBron James, NBA champion, Tiger Woods, who seems to be hurting, Doc Rivers, who finally got that job with the L.A. Clippers, happy birthday to Derek Jeter, and Mike Tyson, and my sister Helen. And at the same time, we're saluting the Miami Heat, LeBron James, back-to-back MVP awards, and back-to-back MVP awards in the NBA Finals. Friday Night Fights, Madison Square Garden. It's every Friday, and this Friday, it's Kevin, can't miss Kelly, winning his WBC featherweight championship. Real quickly, how you heard we talked your opinion. You like Alvarez, you like Marquez. We also, there's some talk about, you talked about Bernard Hopkins, and, you know, that he really has no fear. There's nobody out there. Rooney, okay, we know how you feel about the Alvarez
thing.
There's
a guy that he should fear, Doc. And that's the kid. Now, of course, you asked me now, and I forgot to get his name. But he just knocked out Chad Dawson a week ago, basically with one punch. I'm trying to remember his name. Unfortunately, it just skipped my mind. But he's kind of new on the scene. No,
Ward?
No. I'm sorry?
Was it Ward?
No. He just knocked out, I think it was Chad Dawson a week ago to win the light heavyweight championship on basically one punch. The kid had done a little bit of time, came out. He's a bona fide puncher. And
okay,
I think
well,
that, you know, I'm glad that B Hop got some announcing time the other day, and I hope he can get a job announcing because
well,
I think he should retire. Because I got to tell you, for as slick as he is, if he fights this kid, I think he'd get knocked out.
Well, how if there's nobody out there still good there? Okay, Marquez and Bradley, who do you like, Jeroney?
I don't know. I got that at Pick'em, Doc. I really haven't given that much thought. I really do want to say that as far as the Alvarez Floyd fight, I've been telling you for the longest, Doc, that I'm the first person that I heard say it, that if that fight goes the distance, if Alvarez is still around by the 12th round, that he's going to get the decision and get the Duke and have Floyd his first round.
It could happen, but I don't think it's so
much
fight
on your show, Doc, because I see.
Rudy, I heard you, and I heard Cisco, I heard Al too. It could happen. I'm not surprised it happened, but I would just, it depends how it would go. I still think they lean towards Floyd. Brandon Rios and Pacquiao. In your opinion, Rooney, is Pacquiao done? Is this a fight that's just window dressing?
Well, you know, that can very well be. As the great house said, Doc, you know, it has to see how much does he have left and how much of that devastating knockout affect Pac. You know what this basically is going to be the deal with Rios, but it's like, as Hal said, how much does Pac have left? You know, it's obviously getting towards the end of the road. That our knockout was pretty devastating. I wouldn't mind, quite frankly, if he said, you know, it's been a hell of a career, nothing lasts forever, and retired. I really don't know if this is a great fight for him to take, quite frankly, really.
And Rooney, okay. I like that. I like those opinions. I like those thoughts.
One more thing before we go on this. I was very disappointed, almost embarrassed, and Harold, you being the ultimate pro, I was almost embarrassed by the performance yesterday of the heavyweights with Banks and Seth Mayhem Mitchell yesterday, Harold. I mean, for a guy to be on the verge of a title shot, meaning Banks.
The state of the heavyweight division in America, from a negative standpoint of view, is nothing to be shocked or embarrassed about. I mean, you know, it's just
shocked. The guy
nothing
was on the verge of a title shot with Klitschko. All he had to do was double his effort against Mitchell. And
Rooney,
the guy, I understand that yesterday was Banks' birthday. He fought like he was more interested in the after party than winning the damn fight, to be honest with you. He looked like he had other things to do.
The comic side of Nell Smith Jr. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio. On the Trust and Guardian Network, Sports in Depth, the crew has been here. Leave me with three thoughts. Live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent questions, what are you doing for the service of others is the rent you pay for your space here on Earth. Sports in Depth, brought to you by Shapiro, Sally Brazza, DCJ Productions, Marina Park Hotel, and number one three-star hotel in all of Brazil, Trabajá. Rooney, say goodnight to everybody for us, would you?
Okay, this has been Sports in Depth Extra. Mic's on, lights off. The Sports in Depth Nation's been here. Our Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network. And the straw that stirs the drink has been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you again, good doctor.
Thank you, Rooney. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here every Sunday night, 11 o'clock. Welcome, Phil Smith Jr., Lady A, Nate B. Berger, Baseball, Double Barrel, Harold Wester Jr., the Cisco Kid, Dusty A. Red Brown, and Cincinnati Seaway gave us that 401. Next week, this time, be with us with Sports and Depth. We'll bring not only an in-depth look at sports, but also the athletes and performance of the games that are played. Doc Stanley, from the bottom of my heart, bless you all.